Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a very important show, really special one I'm looking forward to because it's a topic that's timely with everything going on in the world where we're starting to think about where our next meal is coming from to some degree because there's a lot of pressure on the supply chain, et cetera. And there's something that's really important to us in our health, and that's our teeth and our mouth. And we're going to speak with somebody who can speak to both of these and not only just tell us the problem, but give us solutions, which is what the show's about. So we're going to be speaking with Dr. Michelle Jorgensen. She's a dentist. She's internationally acclaimed author, speaker, teacher, and she practices holistic dentistry, biologic dentistry, and focuses on health and wellness. She's the author of 4 books, Healthy Mouth, Healthy You, Holistic Dental Guide, Be Prepared, Not Scared, 12 Steps to Emergency Preparedness, Self-Sufficient Living, a 12-step guide to help you gain security, to learning to provide for yourself, and 100 Days from the Garden, 100 Days of Seasonal Recipes, and Eating from Living Well Gardens with Bonus Harvest Preservation and Health Tips. She's practiced dentistry for 10 years, and like most doctors, she's come to a crossroad, and usually it's a personal story, and I would like her to speak about it, but she became very sick, and part of it, the problem was mercury poisoning from performing her duties, taking fillings out of her patients. And I think, Dr. Jorgensen, most of us who come to the functional, holistic side of healthcare have a personal story that makes us think outside the box. And I'd like to first welcome you to the show because it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. I feel like I'm going to learn a lot, as will my listeners. So I want to thank you for your time because I can imagine how busy you are.
Well, thank you. I'm just excited to be here and share what I can share.
Lovely. Well, let's start off with your journey because it's unique. Most people don't think about fillings anymore. And, you know, I've had patients tell me they've had fillings for 20 years, 30 years, and nothing's been done with them. First, let's start off with the mouth because that's the most important part of the body for health. It affects your heart, your GI tract, your immune system. So let's start with your journey.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So in the bio, you said, you know, I've been practicing for 10 years. Well, that's not true. I've been practicing for 25, but change happened at 10 years in. No, it's good. A big change happened at 10 years in. And about, you know, I'm from a dental family. My father, he and I were practicing together at the time, and he practiced until he was over 70 years old. And I just thought that's what happened. And I was in love with dentistry. I loved helping people. I loved everything I was doing. And about 10 years in, I started having some significant health problems. I was having just major brain fog. And so you start to think, oh, I'm just getting older. But I wasn't that old. You know, I was in my mid-30s. So I knew something had to be a little more wrong than that. My gut was totally screwed up. But I thought, well, you know, lots of people have gut issues. I wasn't able to eat much of anything. But the big one that really was life and career changing is I had such numbness in my hands that I couldn't even hold dental instruments anymore. So I had my practice for sale. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'd been to every doctor. I'd taken every test, every x-ray, every everything. And there were no answers. Nobody knew what was going on until finally another colleague said, well, have you looked into mercury poisoning? And I said, well, you know, I don't have any mercury fillings. I knew that the fillings that I wasn't placing anymore, but that were in people's mouths were full of mercury, but I didn't have any. And he said, oh, no, it's not the fillings you have. It's all of the fillings you've been drilling out for the last 10 years, breathing it in with no protection. And I had never heard that. I had never even considered that that could be a problem. My dad had never had a problem. I'd never known anyone who had this issue. But I thought, well, it's worth getting tested. So I got tested. And sure enough, mercury toxicity off the charts. Wow. So had the doctor said, and you know this only too well yourself, he said, listen, you can't get better if you're continually adding mercury to your body. There's no way you're going to get it out. But all of a sudden, all the symptoms made up because mercury is a neurotoxin. So my numbness, my brain fog, even my digestive system, because mercury interferes with the way our stomach works. So everything made sense. But he said, you can't get better if you're going to keep doing your job. So I had to learn, was there a way to drill out these mercury fillings? And I was taking a lot of them out because I was a cosmetic dentist. People wanted their teeth to look better. And they honestly, they beat your teeth up. So there were a lot of reasons to remove them. But I had to learn, could I do it and not breathe it in? And I actually found that there were ways to do it. I had no idea. So there was an organization that has a whole bunch of protocols. I started following these protocols for me. And then I thought, well, gosh, this will be helpful for my team members who are sitting right next to me here. You know, this is good for them. And then, wow, this is probably good for my patients that I'm, you know, doing this without just spewing it all into the air the whole time. And anyway, it just started me on a journey where I started thinking, gosh, if I knew nothing about this after 10 years in my profession, what else do I not know? And doctors started sending people. They'd say, hey, I've been looking for somebody who can do these mercury removals safely. You know, can you also do this? And they'd ask me something and I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. So I'd have to go learn and go to, you know, get educated myself. And then I'd come back and say, yeah, I can help you with that now. So my practice has really grown on need of people. You know, when people have health problems and they don't know where to turn, I've learned that the dentist is often the place to come. So the practice has completely changed. Now we see patients from all over the world and address ongoing chronic health problems and the connection to the mouth. So it was really because of me.
That's amazing and must be very gratifying, not only that you feel better, but now you've become a resource for people who really, I would think, are at their wits' end by the time they get to you. I get to see people who've been through 4 and 5 doctors are either really devastated or they're really angry. Those are like the two extremes that I end up seeing. And just listening to their story, and I've referred to dentists in my area because I really have now figured out and understand how the mouth is key to everything. So before we go into segueing into some of your books, I'm just curious about dental health. It's not just brushing and flossing, is it? I mean, are there other things that people can do to reverse arrest things that make their body more porous, that things can come in through the gum and infections get seeded and started? What can people do to start to be more healthy in a positive way?
So there's two paths to take with this question. There's number one, prevention and rebuilding. That's one piece. But the other is also restoring what's already been done previously. And that's what I spend a lot of time doing, is fixing things that are already there. And that's, I think, an important thing to talk about, to know what could be there that you need to actually look for. And then what do you do to fix it? So really, the first step is figuring out, is there something going on? And it's not just about brushing your teeth, actually. There's a whole lot to it that has nothing to do with brushing your teeth. There's developmental pieces that happen. In fact, just this morning, I was on a virtual consult with a woman from Alabama, I believe. And she's talking to me about her 4-year-old daughter who has terrible teeth. And I said, listen, I know that this isn't just brushing your teeth. And we finally figured it out when she was 18 months old. She had a horrible case of hand, foot, mouth disease. She then had a really bad GI infection after. And I said, well, this is why her teeth are bad, because they didn't develop correctly. The body will steal minerals from elsewhere. The body will steal minerals from the teeth if it needs them elsewhere. And her body needed them elsewhere because it had been so ill for so long. And it took it from the teeth. So absolutely, there's ways to rebuild teeth if that's the case, if the body has been stealing minerals. And it'll often show up with a lot of cavities. It'll show up during times when hormones are out of whack, like pregnancy, teenage years. And you can do it through what's called remineralization, not fluoride. Fluoride puts something in a tooth that it never lost, because there is not fluoride in a tooth. We talk about actually adding the thing that was lost, which is the minerals. So adding minerals back to your diet, adding minerals back to your mouth itself, and using something called hydroxyapatite, which is the thing that a tooth is made of. So rather than adding something back that was never there, we just add back what it was. And that's called hydroxyapatite. And there's a lot of products nowadays that you can find that have hydroxyapatite in them. There's toothpaste, there's tooth powders, all sorts of things that you can use to try to rebuild the teeth. So that's phase number one. But then the other one is, what else could be hiding that you don't even know about? And we have the big four I talk about. Mm-hmm. The first one is infection. That one's enormous. And this is one that has such a huge implication on overall health. And the three places that really it's hiding most frequently is under root canals. So if a tooth had a root canal, more often than not, it has some recurrent infection that's silent. You don't know it's there. It doesn't hurt. but it's affecting your body and your health. The second place is in areas where teeth have been removed. And if you think about it, a place where most everyone has had teeth removed is their wisdom teeth. And we find that often those areas haven't healed and they harbor infection. Again, those infections lead to fatigue, adrenal problems, hormonal issues, joint problems, crazy things you would never associate with your wisdom teeth. So those are two biggies, infection. And the third is this metal piece, the mercury. Those fillings are all 50% mercury. So if you have them in your mouth, you're swallowing, breathing in that mercury 24/7. So there's ways to fix all of this. That's the good news.
Well, on that note, let's take a break because you said a mouthful, literally.
Yes, I did.
And I want to take a break and explore some of that when we come back. So we'll take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Jernigan, and her practice is called Total Care Dental and Wellness. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Total Care Dental and Wellness. Yep.
Now, from my standpoint, you just said the thing that most people come in with, they've had root canals, they've had their wisdom teeth extracted, and it sounds like you're not a fan of the root canal, and it seems like one of the major pieces that have offered to patients to preserve their teeth. What do you recommend for people where the tooth is not healthy? Should you pull it? I mean, or should you, what can you do basically that won't put you in this position?
It's a great question. And it's a difficult one. Honestly, I wish I had a better answer and a way I could say, absolutely, we can restore this tooth, save it. But there isn't. Once the tooth is dead, and that's what a root canal is. And I explain this very thoroughly with patients. I show them pictures because it helps understand the way a tooth even works. What a root canal is there's a channel in the center or canal in the center of the tooth that holds the blood vessels and the nerves. Well, if a cavity or if a crack or something is extended to that nerve area, the nerve will die. So a root canal does save the tooth, in that they clean out that nerve area and fill it up with filling material. So that's all a root canal is. It's just a filling material that goes down way deep into the root. The problem is there's little microscopic feeder channels throughout that tooth that keep the tooth alive and healthy when the tooth is alive and healthy, but it's impossible to clean or fill any of those. So dead tissue stays in those areas. And I tell people, you know, if you have a pile of garbage on the ground, no matter what, it's going to be full of bugs in a few days. Well, that's what happens with something dead in your mouth as well. Dead in your body anywhere. It's going to be filled with bacteria, viruses, fungus, parasites within a short amount of time. So what it does is it requires your body to fight this nonstop 24/7. Well, eventually that wears you out and you become less able to fight other things because it's constantly fighting this. So there's often no pain, but we'll find it on a CT scan. And I want to make sure that people know that this is how we find these. Is there's a dental specific CT scan that is absolutely 100% necessary when looking for these hidden infections. So what do you do instead? Because there's, in my opinion, there is no healthy root canal. It's just waiting to really cause the problems. So we first of all try to preserve the tooth at any cost. And we use ozone to kill any bacteria that are deep in a tooth if the tooth is still alive. So if the tooth is still alive, we will do anything and everything to keep that tooth there and healthy. Once the tooth is dead, we typically will recommend removing it because that's a dead thing. Recommend removing it and replacing it with a ceramic dental implant. And that way you don't have any more metal. You don't have anything else introduced. But I wish I had a better answer. Mm-hmm. But at the current moment, there isn't one. It's either save the tooth, keep it alive, or replace it.
That ceramic tooth, what's the post that is used to anchor it?
It's ceramic as well.
Ah, okay. Because I mean, I thought it was, before it was more metal, was it not?
It was titanium, mm-hmm. Yep. But in Europe is really the place that's leading the way in all of this. They are using ceramic implants almost exclusively. In the U.S., they're harder to find. Mm-hmm. That's all we place. Are the ceramic versions, because we know the body is just going to accept it better.
That's a great, I didn't even know that. So that's wonderful. So now there really is an alternative that's not going to give you one step forward and 10 behind. So that you don't,
exactly.
I got you. So when people come in to your office, I know you're seeing all sorts of things. Are you also seeing autoimmune issues? Does this Is this a nidus or trigger for that as well?
All day long, every day. Yep. And the way I describe it is just that the immune system is like your army. And if your army only has one enemy, it can do a really good job of fighting that enemy. But if it has multiple enemies, all of a sudden it's shooting every which way and your body gets caught in the crossfire. And that's how I describe autoimmune disease. It's simply your body getting caught in the crossfire of it fighting so many things. Well, our environment alone has a lot of things that we have to deal with. But then you add this kind of infection that's nonstop every day. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the body gets confused, it starts fighting itself, and you get multiple autoimmune diseases showing up. So this is often the initiator or the contributor to autoimmune disease.
It's so disheartening, really, to see patients on all these medications to mask and to suppress, and nobody looking for the root cause. It seems like healthcare is just, it's not healthcare anymore. It's just management, and somebody's making out money on it, but it's not the patient. And just your approach is just totally refreshing. Because if we can just take a step back, and I would think, I would hope also the doctors in your area also use your services as a way to expand their scope and help their patients. Because we all need to get together. It's we're done with, territorial, I do this and I can't share it with my colleague, because it's a whole patient. And if we understood that, our patients would really benefit.
And what we do is often complementary. So I'll tell practitioners, I say, listen, if you have those patients, you've done everything you know to do, and they're doing everything right. They're eating right. They're doing supplementation like you've asked. They're doing everything right. And you just can't quite move the needle. Then have them come here, because most likely I'll find something that's standing in the way of their healing. And so we work together with the practitioners. I help them be more successful.
The patient benefits from it. That's the bottom line.
And that's the major benefit, is the patient gets better, finally. But practitioners love to work with us, mm-hmm. because that's our focus. Is how can we help you with all that you're doing so that we can get the patient to where they're trying to get to? Absolutely.
From a standpoint of someone not living in your city or in your state, are you able to work with practitioners outside of Utah is where you are, am I correct?
Yeah, I'm in Utah. Yeah, I do virtual consults every single day. So what I'm able to do is you get the CT scan where you live, and they're becoming more and more common. Most every oral surgeon's office will have them. You have that CT scan taken where you're at. Mm-hmm. You get it to us, and then I sit down and I do a virtual consult where I walk through that entire CT scan with you on Zoom, and I show you what I'm seeing, and I walk through treatment options. And if you choose to come here, we talk about how you do that as a traveling patient, or we work with practitioners that are near you to complete the treatment as well.
Oh, so it's really very comprehensive and well thought out. From the standpoint of children, because you mentioned at the beginning of the show, gave an example of a young child who still only has her primary teeth, already having problems. What's your thought? And I've seen this, kind of shocking to me, but filling primary teeth or pulling primary teeth, but specifically filling them. Is that necessary? They're going to be gone at some point and you're going to get your adult teeth in. What's your take on all of the dentistry that's happening to kids?
Good question. So the problem with a primary tooth or baby tooth is that the enamel is very thin, because they're not meant to be there forever. They don't need to last 70 years. They need to last 10 or 12. So the enamel is very thin. So that's the trouble when a cavity starts in a baby tooth, is it very rapidly goes to the nerve of the tooth. So you're going to get a toothache, you're going to get an infection, and those are things we don't want in our children. So if a cavity is small, absolutely it should be filled, because we want to prevent that rapid spread to the nerve of the tooth, which is going to cause systemic issues. If the cavity has already gone to the nerve of the tooth, then I actually recommend removing it at that point, because it's a baby root canal. It's a baby tooth root canal that's often offered in these pediatric practices. Mm-hmm. And we do actually have a pediatric department here. We call it Total Care Kids, where we offer alternatives to all of this. But if it's small, it needs to be filled so that you don't have to lose the tooth. If it's deep and already to the nerve, then we will remove the tooth and help hold the space until the permanent teeth come in. Because that is an issue too. If you pull the teeth out early, mm-hmm. the permanent teeth don't have a guide for where to come in. So you have to to hold that space open so that they actually can come in the right area, the right place.
Wow. Now, I have, before we take a break, I just want to ask, and you answered it, but I want to make sure people get it. Is there any benefit to all these fluoride rinses, fluoride treatments that also seem to be, you know, pushed on kids and adults? What are they worth it? Or are they bad?
So fluoride will strengthen the tooth. That's non-questionable. It will make the tooth stronger. However, it also makes the tooth and bones more brittle, and it also affects particularly thyroid function because fluoride interferes with the way thyroid hormone is activated. So in my mind, it's not worth that. It's not worth the side effect of the fluoride because hydroxyapatite will do the same thing, as will ozone. It will do the same thing and rebuild and strengthen the tooth. So we actually offer hydroxyapatite treatments here in our office or ozone treatments here in our office instead of fluoride because I don't want the side effects to come along with the fluoride.
Well, that's an excellent answer. As an ENT, I can totally confirm what you're saying about the thyroid function and how fluoride interferes instead and takes the place of iodine. So let's
take it.
It's like everybody needs to go back to their biology and their chemistry. I mean, it's like we have an amnesia as soon as we get our MD or our DDS degree, and it's just not right. So on that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Michelle Jorgensen, and you can go to her website, totalcaredental.com. Also, there's livingwellwithdrmichelle.com, and that's drmichelle.com, and totalcareacademy.com. And before the break, Doc, we were talking about the real world and about dentistry and about how it affects the entire body. I have a feeling we'd be a lot healthier as a nation if we really honed in on our dental health. I don't think there's any question on that. And now I want to take a segue to what's going on now. We're having what you put in your mouth and what you put in your body is becoming the underpinning for health. And if you watch TV, if you're listening to things that are going on, it's starting to get a little bit frightening about what's going to happen, what foods are going to become available. How do we gain security in this world that just keeps changing in front of our eyes? And I think anxiety and the fear of the unknown doesn't help your immune system. It doesn't help your relationships with people. So the book that you wrote, Self-Sufficient Living, A 12-Step Guide, I think that's actually very timely. And I wanted to go over that with you. One, how did you come up with it? What made you think, and it's necessary, but what was the impulse that started you down that path?
You know, it's interesting because as I went through my own health journey, it was the first time, I was raised in a very traditionally medicine home. My father was a dentist. I have three brothers who are as well. My grandfather was an internist. You know, this is just what our family did. So growing up, we didn't actually go to the doctor, interestingly enough, but we didn't do anything else either. So I wasn't really exposed to any of the alternative care world at all. But when I stopped being able to find answers for my own health challenges in traditional care, I started looking outside, you know, in the alternative care world. And as I looked there, I realized there was so much related to nutrition and diet and the food that we put in our mouths every single day. And all of a sudden I thought, I'm home, because forever I have loved gardening. I have loved growing my own food. This is just something that I have done since I was little. And it's something that just has always resonated with me. And all of a sudden I could put the two together. You know, I could put my career and helping people with their health and everything else with the love I have of gardening and doing things for yourself at home and bringing all those things really back to the forefront that our grandmothers knew and our great grandmothers knew, but we've all just forgotten them and the ease and the convenience of our day. So I had an interesting story. I was, because my first book, well, the book that came before 12 Steps or Self-Sufficient Living was actually Be Prepared. And it was about 7 years ago now, I was recommended a book, and it talked about a lot of different potential scenarios that could happen in the world in the future. So a lot of them actually have happened now, which is a little disarming. Mm-hmm. But I read the book, and I thought, if any of this happens, I'm not ready. And I was gardening. I was doing things already, but I was not ready. So my mind, the way I work, is I've got to make it a small enough step that is possible. And that's what I found really for everyone, that if you just look at everything you need to learn and everything you could do, it's overwhelming and you don't do anything. So I broke up all the topics that I thought I needed to learn more about from a preparedness standpoint into 12. And I thought, well, how convenient, there's 12 months. So I'm going to take one topic per month, and that's all I'm going to think about. That's all I'm going to research. That's all I'm going to do anything on for the whole month. And I figured out it actually worked really well, because I could just look and learn about one thing and work on that one thing. And then the next month, I was ready to start the next. So as I went through this own, my own personal journey on preparedness, I thought, you know what, this is going to work for other people. So that's why I wrote the book, Be Prepared, Not Scared. And it's interesting because I've had hundreds or thousands of people actually use that exact 12-step program to get prepared. And as I looked at that, I thought the ultimate preparedness, the ultimate in being prepared is actually being self-sufficient. Because I can be prepared for what I think might happen in the world, but if I'm self-sufficient, meaning it doesn't matter what happens in the world, I can care for myself and my family, that's the ultimate preparedness. Mm-hmm. So these are things that I've done over the years. And I thought, I'm going to follow the same 12-step program. We're going to find 12 things that if you do them, if you learn and acquire these skills and the abilities to do these things, it doesn't matter what the world's throwing at you, you are going to be just fine. And so that's what the 12 steps to preparedness is. It's literally the 12 things you can incorporate. And I've written it to be a, you tackle one topic at a time. You take a month, you take a year. I don't care how long it takes you for each step, but don't get overwhelmed with all of it. Just mm-hmm. take the first one and master that, then move on to the next. And that's how I've written both books, so that they're not overwhelming. So people can do this.
It's, there's some empowerment that, once you make that step, you really can't go back, can you? It's that feeling of, no. I got this. I don't have to depend on somebody to help me or God forbid, work against me, because I've got this on my own. And it doesn't mean you have to be selfish about it. It just means that you're prepared so you can help other people if you so choose, right?
That's the biggest thing for me. And my daughter, she said that the other day. She's like, Mom, you know, a lot of people know that we have a lot of stuff and that we can grow food and we can do all this. What are you going to do if people come to you? And mm-hmm. I said that I'm going to help teach them what they can do. And I said, if any bad guys come, you know, talking about my daughter, I said, I'm going to tell them your best defense right now is me. So I can help you in any of these scenarios. Like you keep me alive and working, and I can help you with anything. Keep my family alive and working. We're going to be able to help you with all of this. We're going to be able to feed all of you. But it's certainly empowering to be able to do that. And really, I teach you ways to do it in an apartment and anywhere, you know, if you're living in a small area, if you don't have, there's things you can do anywhere. And when world changes come, it's been interesting to watch even just my family. As things happen in the world, we don't get nervous. Mm-hmm. We don't get scared. We don't freak out, because they look at our backyard. It's like, we're going to be fine. We'll be fine. We know what to do.
Just imagine if we could just use your little template and just reproduce it all over. I think this, we would have people who are not buffeted by the next trauma or the next thing that's happening, where they just crawl into a hole and expect someone to take care of them. I think that's the antidote to us being tribal about things. If you have protection, you're less likely to be, I need to have it all, you have nothing. I think it's just the mindset. And then it dovetails into your health too, doesn't it? Because when you live in that stress mode, that adrenal fatigue, thyroid fatigue mode, doesn't that set you up for infections and for inflammation and all the other things that are the root cause of disease?
100%. Not only does it set you up for root cause of disease, but it also leaves you very at the whim of the world to care for that disease. Mm. And that's one thing that I really feel like is such a fallacy that we've been told and taught in the last 100 years or so. I read all the time, and right now I'm reading a crazy book that was written in 1820s on health. And it's interesting to read the way that they approached illness. They pulled out all their herbs. They started steaming them. They, you know, did all of these things. And I thought, gosh, all we know to do is to go to our doctor and to go to a pharmacy. we don't know that cayenne heats the body and helps clear fever. We don't know, you know. And so part of being self-sufficient in my mind too is being able to care for your health in that way. And that's my huge, even my next, that's my next book is Bring Healing Home, is teaching people how to care for their health themselves, how to grow their own medicine, or even if you don't grow your own medicine, how to at least use what you can find, right, you know, in plants and in other things around you to care for your health. Because to me, that's the ultimate in self-sufficiency as well.
Agreed.
Is that even if there are hard times come and you do have medical challenges, you still are okay. You still can care for yourself.
Now, what you said about your book, which is really excellent, is that you don't have to have a ranch. You don't have all these acres of land. If you live in an apartment in the city, you can still do things to help yourself. So it looks like you've thought about this, how we can adapt whatever you are, wherever you are. There's no excuse, really, that you can't start the process.
100%. And really, I think it is a little bit of an excuse, you know, when people say, gosh, I live in an apartment. How can I do any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've tried to eliminate that excuse and say, no, you can. You have power here and you have an ability here. You absolutely can take charge of this. And some of it is developing a community. You know, maybe your neighbor next door knows how to do something you don't. And maybe you know how to do something that they don't. And so, you know, sometimes there's strength in community as well. And that's really important if you're in a place that maybe doesn't have a lot of room, that you can't keep, you know, animals or grow a large garden, is looking around you and seeing, gosh, what do I have around me? It was interesting when I first moved into the home I live in now, we didn't have fruit trees. We didn't have a big garden. We didn't have any of that. I had plans for it, but we didn't have it. So I just started walking around my neighborhood and I saw a home that had a bunch of fruit trees and all the fruit was on the ground. So I just went and knocked on the door and I said, you know what? I would love to take some of this fruit and clean up your trees for you if you're not going to be using it. They were thrilled because I was cleaning up the trees and taking care of this fruit that they were kind of feeling guilty not to use. And all of a sudden I had fruit and I didn't have to grow it. So there's things to do all around you if you just look, if you just know what to look for. So that's really what my book helps you to do too, is identify what should I look for? What should I work on? And then how do I start?
It sounds very non-threatening in the sense that it's not like you have to be a maven about something. It's being aware first, I think, right?
Yep. And it's things that we used to know how to do. You know, that's one of my big things as well, is it's, go talk to the grandmas, you know? they knew how to do this. And just, again, in the ease and convenience of our life, we've not had to. But I suspect we're going to have to again. So I'd rather learn now before I'm faced with those scenarios and those situations. I'd rather learn the hows now.
It's the ultimate in prevention and preparedness.
Yep.
And let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Michelle Jorgensen. And I know, Doc, that you also you are a speaker. Do you also have classes that people could also take from you, like an ongoing kind of resource that way?
Yes, I do. In fact, so at my homestead, we call it a homestead. It's an acre, so it's not like I live on a ranch, but I call it a homestead because I think it sounds cooler. So on my homestead, I actually have an education center and I do live classes. In fact, I have one tomorrow night on medicinal seed starting and medicinal gardening. And we also have a virtual option. So I typically have about double the amount of people virtually as I do in person for these classes. And there's full complete manuals that go along with every class. I think the manual tomorrow is like 15 pages long. And it walks you through, you know, I'm a book learner. That's why I think why I like to write books, is because I love to read books.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm learning that not everyone is. You know, not everybody learns by reading. A lot of people learn by watching. So I have a whole bunch of videos, actually. In fact, that's where my preparedness efforts really started, as I was doing videos for my community, for my neighborhood, my church. And all of a sudden, I was getting hundreds of thousands of views on them. And I thought, that's not just my neighborhood. Somebody else is finding these somewhere. This must be interesting to someone else. But So there's a lot of information on YouTube. If you go to Living Well with Dr. Michelle on YouTube, there's a lot of information, especially in the preparedness area. But I do classes, typically one a month, sometimes even two a month, and it walks you through the entire kind of season of self-sufficiency. So right now we're doing seed starting. We're going to do spring gardening next month. During, you know, July, I have a huge preparedness conference that I run, and all the way through the fall, all the way through preserving your own food, you know, how do you can or dry or freeze, ferment. How do you preserve your own food? How do you preserve the harvest? All the way into winter topics as well. What do we do from the self-sufficient living? Can you garden in the winter? Yeah, you can. Year round, anywhere you live. And just things like that. So, yep, I have an ongoing continuum of all of these things. Everything from even, you know, how do I, in the fall, use these medicines that I've been growing and turn them into tinctures and salves and pills and teas? And how do you make those kinds of medicines? And all of that is on that Living Well site. We have an entire, I call it the mercantile, where we have all of these things available to be able to go and learn so that you can do it yourself.
That's amazing. I mean, knowing how the importance of fresh, of the body being able to absorb, not something that's man-made and chemical-based, but really getting down to the nooks, you know, the baseline, the foundation of what the cells need. Because it's really all about feeding the cells. I personally think the body's self-healing if you give it the tools to do so. And you just described at the beginning, because I think we were all taught, once your enamel's gone, it's not coming back. That's not really true. And you can change that pathway by feeding, you know, refilling the things that have been used to try to keep you afloat. I didn't realize how important minerals were until I started to really get into the functional side of medicine and all these diseases that don't really have, you can't diagnose them with a, you know, with a blood test, let's say fibromyalgia or, you know, these things that are catch-alls, irritable bowel disease, that they're just giving you stimulants and things that are just treating a symptom, where in actuality, there's a different approach. It's just, it's what healthcare is supposed to be. I think those of us who've made that leap really love what we do. And I really feel bad for our colleagues who are just stuck in the mud of just write a prescription, give them another one for the side effect of the other one. They cannot be happy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually writing a course. I'm going to be speaking at a convention in a month or so. And it's all about medicine and your food. And this is one of my favorite classes to teach, actually, because, you know, there's a very famous quote by Hippocrates that says, let medicine be your food, food be thy medicine. And we forgot how to do that too. But little things like ginger and garlic are extremely medicinal. And if you add them intentionally to your meals, then all of a sudden you've given your body the necessary ingredients and building blocks and tools to do exactly what you said, to heal. Because no doctor that anyone sees does the healing for anyone. And if we say we are, that we're healing you, then we're not telling you the truth. We just give you the tools for your body to do the work. It's your body that has to do it. So you just have to provide it what it needs. And then it does the work for you and it heals. And I love that you're saying exactly that, because that's what I believe wholeheartedly.
It's changed the nature of my practice. It's a lot more fun. It's just being able to help people who have been through the mill and they just have that spark when you say there's a different way to do this and they just light up. There's nothing like that. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we've talked about things that are happening in the world with supply chains and those sorts of things that are very visible. We can see them. They make us a little nervous. You know, when we watch trucker strikes and those kinds of things, and we see shelves getting empty, and I'm having difficulty actually accessing some important materials here in my dental practice even. We're getting allotments now where we can only order so much. And so it's definitely being felt. We're all feeling it a little. But the ones that you can't see are the things like the way that our foods have been changed inside of that food chain. They're not grown in soil that has any minerals anymore. They're not grown in a way that actually increases their nutrient content. So the food that we're eating doesn't do the same thing for us that it did at one time. These are important pieces to learn, and they're important pieces to then be able to supersede and go ahead of and say, okay, well, where can I find food that has the nutrients that I need in it? Or even better, how could I grow the food that has those nutrients in it? How can I prepare my soil in a way that everything that comes out of it is just, you know, full of everything my body needs? I believe this is the true measure of health, is actually feeding our bodies the things that it requires. And it should be in our food, but it's not. We don't know that very much. You know, we know if we have food or not, but do we know if the food actually has what we need or not? And that's one thing that I think really is so important in the self-sufficient, you know, lifestyle as well, is knowing that what you're getting is actually doing something for you.
Mm-hmm. No question. And if for those folks who still making the move towards maybe growing their own food, what supplements do you recommend? We know that the minerals are important, but for those who are really out there saying, how can I jumpstart this? What do you recommend that they start taking?
So my favorite is something called humic and fulvic acid. The name is weird. It sounds like you're taking a bunch of acid, but you're not. Basically what it is dirt water. That's what I tell my patients. I'm like, it's dirt water. And where do minerals reside? They're in the soil. In fact, this is an interesting little tidbit. So minerals come from rocks, right? Mm-hmm. But how do they get into the plants? Well, the plants have their roots in soil. So the rocks have to be mined by the plant roots. So this is pretty cool. The plant roots actually, they secrete a component that dissolves the minerals out of rocks. So when a root hits a rock, it dissolves minerals, and the minerals are then pulled into that plant, and then we eat the plant, we get the minerals. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we know that the minerals are in the soil because that's where the rocks are, and that's where things are dissolving. So this fulvic and humic acid is actually soil. It's deep, deep soil. It's full of all these organic materials in a liquid form. So that's what I recommend first and foremost for people. The second one is homeopathic cell salt. They are a great way to get all the building blocks that you need for your body. And it basically just gives your body the ability to do what it needs to do with the minerals you get. So those are two things that I will always recommend starting with. When it comes to teeth, bones, skin, nails, those kinds of things, I also add an herb called horsetail. And horsetail is full of something called silica, which is fabulous for skin, hair, nails, teeth. And so that's a third thing I'll add on if people really want to get more nutrients and minerals in their bodies.
Well, it's also a great detoxer too, the silica. I think it gets rid of things like heavy metals and some of these, I don't know if it's arsenic, I can't remember which one, but it gets rid of them. So that's another thing that people don't realize. It's a neutralizer for acids. It's a detoxer. So all these things that just help the body stay balanced. They seem to little tiny things, but everything, God made everything with a purpose. And these are things that really, they're easy to get, aren't they? You can get them online. You can go on various websites and purchase them. And a tincture or a liquid version of something is very easy to take, even for those people who hate taking pills and stuff. What about things like calcium, vitamin D, magnesium, you know, the phosphorus, things that we kind of take for granted, but are also some of the important for homeostasis and cellular function?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of those are termed under the category of electrolytes. Mm-hmm. And that category means the things that help the electrical conduction in our body. That's why they're called electrolytes, interestingly enough. So those are the things that literally keep our bodies going, keep our bodies charged, keep our bodies moving. But there's a real important interaction that not a lot of people know. So calcium particularly can't be taken up into cells without a carrier. And the carrier is vitamin D and vitamin K. So it's vitamin D3. Vitamin D3 grabs the calcium out of the blood basically and gets it ready to use. Vitamin K2 puts it into the cell. So this is one problem that I actually have with people sometimes that are not doing any sort of a fat in their diet, particularly if they're not doing any sort of animal product at all, because a lot of those D3 and K2 are found in animal products. So it's difficult to uptake minerals. This is kind of second level. You have to take the calcium, but if it just floats around and doesn't actually go where it's supposed to go, then you're going to end up with tartar in your teeth, stones in your kidney, in your galls, in your gallbladder, and plaque in your artery. You don't want that. So you actually have to have the vitamin D and the vitamin K to pull that calcium into the cell and utilize it. Magnesium is a little easier. It gets in a lot easier. You can actually use it in skin form. You can use it. I use magnesium water on my skin. It's fabulous for cramping and those kinds of things. That's a great electrolyte. And then the way the cells work, they need sodium and potassium all the time. That's the way all of our cell membranes work, is with those two electrolytes. Thankfully, they're fairly easy to get in our foods. All of these things are fairly easy to get in foods, but you have to have those fat-soluble vitamins, which are D and K, A and E as well, but you have to have those to utilize minerals properly. And that's something that people don't always understand.
No, it's just like so one-dimensional. But you did a wonderful job of giving us a very full, rounded picture of the importance of everything that we do. It has to be with intention. And the time is so short, but I want to make sure people know how to get your books, how to go to your webinar to actually, if they live in your state, see you. So how can people get your books and see you and do all those sorts of things?
So the best place to go is livingwellwithdrmichelle.com. So you're going to find everything on there. You can also get the book straight on Amazon. The book, Be Prepared, Not Scared, and Self-Sufficient Living, are on Amazon. If you are interested in knowing about your dental health, we can either, if you're close to here or virtual anywhere in the world, I can help figure out at least your next steps. So that's TotalCareDental.com. So again, the website's TotalCareDental.com, LivingWellWithDrMichelle.com, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook and put a ton of stuff. And YouTube as well. So Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube under both of those names, Living Well with Dr. Michelle and Total Care Utah, you're going to find all sorts of stuff for free. We're always putting recipes and information pieces and everything that you're going to want to know. So check those out.
Dr. Jorgensen, it was an absolute pleasure speaking with you. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for all you do.
Oh, and you too. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.